Coming up on TMS PM. No, you just try and sleep now.
There you go. Dan, the tabletop man, and more on this episode of TMS PM.
This is the morning stream, but it's not in the morning, it's at night.
TMS PM.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to TMS. It is the PM edition on January 11th, 2019. Scott Johnson here, Brian Ibbett there. Good morning, afternoon. Hello. It's not morning, is it?
Yes, afternoon, PM. Yeah. As luck would have it.
I might be really tired today. It just hit me because the freaking dog thing I told you about yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was the surgery. And as a result, last night she was up all night. No, wait, have I already talked about this? When did I talk about this already?
No, yeah, you might have talked about it on Skim or something, but
that's how out of it I am. I'm not kidding. It was so bad last night. She couldn't sleep. She whined and moaned. She's wearing a cone. Part of the problem is the doctor said, "Oh, well, she'll come out of this and just be all relaxed and floppy and like it, you know, she'll still be out of it." And she's not. Yeah. She's like super up and puppy like right now.
That might be part of being out of it, right? Like the compensation for feeling tired is the going overboard the other direction.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what's happened. And so now she's super hyper jiper, and we had to call in now and get some kind of pills to make her poopy at night or make her tired at night, because last night we can't do that again. It was bad.
You need some doggy downers. I wonder, can you give her? Well, CBD probably will just mellow her out, but it won't
make her tired.
Knock her out. Yeah. But she's not able to be up and around, right, with the leg thing?
Or she's not supposed to, but she's moving like she thinks she can. That's the problem. She's like, blop, getting up, blip, blip. And I'm like, no, lay down. You're done. You can't. This is, you know, they said 4 weeks of relative bed rest. You can't just jump around. Okay, and then you get her down and calm down. And all of a sudden, she'll want to jump off the bed. And you're like, no, hold on, George, you can't get off the bed. And you're supposed to take the cone off while you're near her, because the cone sucks. And it's only there when you're not around, like if she's in the kennel or something. We have the extra big kennel for her to be in, so she's got plenty of room at night. But she's just in there going, and then you let her out, and she's not hurt. She just wants to play. She just wants to get out and play.
She wants to be, she's a puppy. She wants to do puppy things. That's what got you into this problem in the first place, is playing and doing puppy things.
I know. It's killing me. But in the end, it's okay, because we got her the doggy Xanax or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And tonight we already tried one out for the afternoon and it conked her out hard. And so tonight we're like, yeah, dude, we're going to freaking drug her up, put her in her thing, and she'll hopefully sleep tonight. But otherwise successful, screwed in the joint there. She got a big old shaved butt and got like a little nasty looking scar. It looks like my wrist in Resident Evil 7 where they sever your arm right here and they have to have that little stitch right there the whole time.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah,
so it's that.
I didn't get that far.
And she, you didn't get very far at all then. And you know what? It's okay.
Well, I don't know. I feel like it wasn't a matter of like, I don't like this, I'm not going to play it anymore. It was a matter of, something else was shiny. Like it was the release of some other game that I was waiting for.
Oh.
And I moved over to that. So see. I always think I'm going to go back to video games and finish them up. I never, ever do. Mm.
Did you finish Spider-Man, or are you not done with that yet?
No, I didn't finish Spider-Man.
See, and of all the things you'd think that he would finish,
I know. That would be one that you think I would totally finish. Yeah. So who knows? I might get back into that. I need to.
Look, I say this as if I don't have the same problem. I have the exact same problem. Some shiny, other shiny thing comes up and I want to go do that. And then I forget about the old thing. But sometimes I'll circle back around. And I'm feeling an itch to finish Spider-Man, so I may get in there and do that.
Everything I hear about that, I mean, there's so much stuff. I had such a blast in that game. Just swinging around is such a blast in that game.
Yeah, if that's all it was, it would have been a good game, probably. I don't know.
Right. I'm exhausted, too. I had a weird dream last night where I was driving at like 6 o'clock in the morning, but the streets were completely empty. It was in a completely different neighborhood, although in my mind, I was leaving the house. Mm. That's a weird thing. I never dream about the actual house I live in, but the house I dream about in my dream is like, oh, this is your house.
Oh, weird. But is it a house you lived in before? Is it just...
No, okay. No, completely foreign. Okay. Somebody out there is dreaming about my house. I don't know who was, But it's always a different house for me. I'm never dreaming about the same house. But so I'm leaving the house 6 o'clock in the morning. I'm in the car driving. It's like, wow, why are the roads so dead? Why is it so quiet out here? And then all of a sudden, somebody's headlights are right behind me going, meep, 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 like honking at me. And it woke me up. And I couldn't, like, my heart was going, do, 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 do. So I decided, all right, well, let's watch a little bit more of Bodyguard on Netflix. Ended up watching the last 2.5 hours, like the last 2.5 episodes of Bodyguard.
Yeah.
Which were so good.
It's good, right?
Oh, my God. That ending, like the stuff that happens.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to give anything away for people who are interested, but it's good.
No, it's really, really good. Yeah. 6 hours, basically. Six 1 hour episodes. If you're not watching it, you need to be watching it. And as much as I thought the accents would be difficult to understand, I got into them really easily, never had to turn on subtitles. You know, I had to figure out, all right, what the heck is a compromat? But because that's not a term you hear ever in America.
No.
It's a compromat.
No, you don't hear mum as much as this thing does.
You don't hear mum.
That's interesting because it just occurred to me when you said that it's almost perfectly suited for what it is. So, you know, a lot of British stuff, it's like 6 episodes and you're done. That's a very British thing to do.
Right.
The first 2 seasons of Fawlty Towers were 6 episodes each and they were years apart and, you know, weird stuff like that. But this thing being only 6 hours lends itself really well to what it actually is, which is this very intense, high octane sort of Born Identity kind of vibe to it that I think benefits from being short, you know? Like if this thing was a 12 to 13 or plus more than that even, or multi-series sort of thing, carrying through the same storyline, I think it would be exhausting. Like,
no,
I don't know
and they're
how
saying
it.
It's, you know, it's season one, but I don't know. I don't want it to turn into a I mean, it feels like that very first season of 24, which was great, which was like riveting, edge of your seat, President Palmer, Allstate salesman, you know, it was just great. And the thing about a show like that is that future seasons mean you have to let your imagination believe that something like this is going to happen to this guy every year.
Yep.
It's the Die Hard thing, right? Yeah. Like, what are the odds that the John McClane, oh, now the airport that he's in is going to get screwed around with. Or now, you know, now another building that he's walking around in is going to be a problem.
Yeah, the Die Hard thing was super annoying.
Yeah.
Because there's just no way. Like, you don't go from biggest terrorist attack, robbery attempt in the history of Los Angeles downtown to the biggest airport takeover of all time to, you know, like every one of those things was one of those things.
All happened to be thwarted by the same guy.
Yeah. All right around Christmas time, or I guess the first two were anyway. The others, I guess, weren't so
much. Yeah, the third one was just running around New York solving problems with what's his face? Jeremy Irons.
The brother of
Hans Gruber.
Right.
Why did they make him Franz Gruber? That would have been great.
What was it instead?
McClane, I am here to pump you up.
I want those brother natives. Anyway. Dan just texted me and says, sounds good, man. Are you live right now? We can talk about melatonin. Oh, good. We'll talk about melatonin and Adderall today.
Great.
One that makes you sleepy.
If any of you tuned in to hear Dan the Tabletop Man actually talk about tabletop games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, and he's got a game, too. He sent me some pictures, some cool ones look super complicated. But as usual, Dan, I'm sure we'll break it down in a way we'll all understand it.
It'll be a game that if you take melatonin or Adderall beforehand, you'll never been able to you'll never be able to finish it.
Yeah. If you take too much melatonin, you take a little Adderall to wake up because too much melatonin puts you to sleep, right?
There you go.
If you're taking too much Adderall, I assume you just smother it in melatonin. He'll probably clear some of this up, but I think I have a pretty sound medical understanding of how this is supposed to work. Just OD on the stuff. Just, right? Is that how?
Yeah, I think Dan will clear that up immediately.
Yeah, probably not going to let me.
I'd like to know if his worlds have ever collided to the point where he's had to use a pill or a capsule as a playing piece in a game. Like, oh no, we've lost the wheelbarrow in Monopoly. I'll just use this.
I love that idea. That's a great idea. Why not? Yeah, what, why not? If you if it's handy, just reach over and grab that I don't know, anti-pregnancy pill, the morning after pill. That could be your meeple.
We're out of 20s in Monopoly. That's all right. We'll just use...
Yeah, where are all the meeples? Use grandma's heart medication.
Use migraine medicine, yeah.
Sure, exactly. Why not? Another note. Oh, on the tail end of this dog thing, which is literally where her operation was, is on her tail end. A lot of people helped sort of supplement the cost, and we really appreciate it. Nick is incredibly appreciative. He wants to put together like a little thank you video later, thanking everybody for their help. And but like all good things, must come to an end. So we thought about, well, let's just cut it off now that the surgery's here. And Dave was like, yeah, you got to give people some warning. You can't just cut it off. So for those who just hadn't gotten around to it or still want the stuff, like you're more interested in the stuff than what you were helping or whatever, we're going to leave it up until midnight on Sunday. So at frogpants.com/store, it's just up there and it's down on as of nighttime on Sunday sometime. It'll disappear from the store. So if you still want it, you can get it. If you don't, that's cool too. I'm just letting you know. It basically has a timer on it and is going away soon. And again, giant thanks to everybody who contributed there. There were two in particular that I don't know if they want me to say their names or not. Well, I know one of them didn't. But there's another one who's very close to this show, close to our community. Somebody, if I even hinted, Brian, you'd go, really? That's awesome. Mm-hmm. You would say that. But I don't know if... I'll say it's a he. It's the only hint.
Then I know who it is.
We only have one male listener. But I don't know if he wants me to say anything, but he was so generous and kind. Cool. I said, you don't have to do this. And he comes back and says, well, let's put it this way. Bought $100 worth of prints. Doesn't need those prints. In fact, not only did he get those, he's donated them for us to use as giveaways on the show down the road.
Perfect. Yeah, excellent.
But wanted to help. Carl
says it was free hotel room.
It wasn't free hotel room.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that just be the best thing? Wouldn't that be like, and his heart grew 3 sizes that day.
Tell me, boy, what day is this? Why, it's Christmas Day, free hotel room. I haven't missed it, he'd say. No, it's not him, sadly, but... it was this really sweet gesture, and he's just got a huge heart, and I won't say anything else, but I just am really grateful for him doing that. So anyway, thank you all for that. That means a lot. Now my son's not completely broke, trying to take care of his dog, I think was the whole idea there, and it worked out fine.
You taught the boy some responsibility, more or less.
Yeah.
No, I think it's absolutely, the last thing you want is him going into debt because he feels responsible for taking care of this dog. And I think that was absolutely the right.
Very nice way for the community to give back. So you guys were nice to do that. And like the government, we're doing not even like the government, we're doing a complete shutdown of the funding on Sunday night. So if you want to get in there, just sneak in, take care of it, and get out because Sunday night is going away. Brian, how'd your weigh-in go? Did you see, was Justine there?
She was back. Finally, Justine was back. She went to Florida and was on a cruise over the Christmas break. Okay. And I was thinking, oh, my God, I hope she doesn't have the norovirus. She was over in a different cubicle area weighing people in.
Yeah.
And stepped on the scale, Scott. Oh, look, I'm just going to rip this Band-Aid off. I'm up 2.2 pounds. It's just, you know, let's just get it out there.
Yeah, but she was around buffets and stuff for all the holidays. Did she cop any sort of mistakes while she was on her cruise?
Oh, I didn't ask her. Yeah, no kidding. How do you go on a cruise? You know that it's me that gained the 2 pounds, right?
No, I get it. I'm just saying.
Now it's just dawned on me. It's like, you know that I'm talking about me. Yeah, I don't know how the Weight Watchers lifestyle, I'm sorry, the WW lifestyle and a cruise would work well together.
Right.
Because, you know, that they're all about, by the way, I know you're just leaving lunch, but dinner buffet starts in 20 minutes. So go to the Lido deck and play a little table tennis and we'll see you in 20.
Yeah. I mean, I know I wouldn't hold back there. I'd eat too much. Yeah. I'd gain weight. Hopefully she did okay. And hopefully she didn't get
diarrhea
while she was there.
Oh, yeah. Let's hope. Yeah. Those people you're hearing about that not Norwegian, Royal Caribbean cruise where everybody's got the norovirus. Oh, did you not hear about this?
No, my sister-in-law and husband and her friends are all on that. We're watching my nephew because of this right now. And it's a Royal Caribbean. Is it that cruise,
I wonder? It's a Royal Caribbean cruise that is plagued. Yeah, nearly 500 people are sick on this Royal Caribbean cruise ship. None of the ports are letting them dock. So like they have all these ports of call that they're supposed to go to, right? Like, all right, we're gonna go to Jamaica, or I don't know where they're going, but all of the ports of call said, yeah, keep it moving. You're not stopping here.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm just looking at the news here. Oh, I'm not saying I want this to be theirs or anything, but I really am curious. So this would be you'd have to go down to like Miami to get on this thing, right? This is totally
Port Canaveral in Brevard County, Florida is where it took off from. Oh. Oasis of the Seas.
And their stock dropped 5.5%.
That you're going to throw up overboard.
They're down almost 6% in their stock price as well.
Yeah.
Oh man, look at this. And when it first broke out, it was 150 people. Then it was 475. Now it's over 500.
Yeah.
Dang. Okay, well, this may be them. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm looking to see if there's any info about the port. Oh, there we go. Included several stops in the Caribbean and Mexico. All of which. Oh, here we go. It did its first stop in Haiti for a buffet lunch. And then it went to Jamaica, and they said, nope, you're not getting off.
Wow. They wouldn't even let him get off.
Would not even leave.
This is my worst nightmare.
Oh, and then they were supposed to go to Mexico, and the boat said, we're turning this thing around.
When it's 500 people, I'm not surprised. That's too many.
Everybody, hold on. We're going to make a really sharp turn in the ocean.
Yeah. Nobody, just hold on to your butts, literally. We're about to do it. That's awful. That sounds awful. Oh my gosh. Everything about this is bad.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to see if Kim knows anything about it. That'd be all right. Well, that's all well and good. And you're up 2 pounds. Well done. Congratulations.
I'm up 2 pounds, and I'll deal with that this week. This week will be a week of being better.
Yeah.
Not going to Puzzle Pint and having beer cheese dip with broccoli and apple slices. And
is that what's getting you, do you think, or is it the alcohol on tap, do you think? What thing do you think got you the most this
you know what, I did drink a lot over the weekend. That was pretty bad. I just put a photo in our Dropbox. I'll put it in the chat room too. It was just at the bottom of that article about the Royal Caribbean cruise. It's just a great shot of Eugene and Daniel Levy.
Oh, look at them, those two. Little husband, sorry, a little son, father business there.
Right.
That's cute.
That's a great shot. Yeah. Anyway, but no, I think it was a mix of things. I mean, you know, even though I didn't have much, probably the filet mignon or whatever steak I had Tuesday night or Wednesday night with some crab and some butternut squash soup probably wasn't good. I don't know. There's, you know, I can look back at the weekend and say, all right, here are the 11 things I probably shouldn't have eaten.
But you'd rather look forward and not back, right?
I'm looking forward. Ever forward, never back.
That's
ever
right.
Forward.
Don't look forward. Ever forward, never back.
That's right. Exactly.
Always forward. Yep.
Listen, this could just be my body saying, nope, right here, I'm just going to circle back and forth. 2 pounds up, 2 pounds down, 2 pounds up, 2 pounds down. Because that is really what it has been over the last several weeks. Mm. My body's just saying, Brent, this is the weight I want you to be. It's not a good weight. It's not the weight you want to be, but it's the weight I'm going to make you be.
Yeah, it could be your plateau, and that's where you're at for a while. I do that. I mean, I'm stuck in kind of a... I mean, I know I can go lower, but I'm definitely... I've actually hit the upper limit. I don't ever gain more than I'm at now. It's just I can't. If I did, I'd kill myself because it's just...
Oh, jeez.
Like, how much could you eat? I mean, I'd have to literally... Yeah. Oh, I just have to be. I'd have to make myself sick every day to gain more. Ugh. But that's probably good, right? At least I know what my upper rail is. Now I can work back.
You know what your plateau is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
that's what I got to do. How sick.
Lemonade says the scales are rigged for high, low feelings and ongoing membership.
Yeah. Wouldn't be surprised.
Would not be surprised.
But listen, TMS listening audience, how sick are you of us talking about our weight? How sick of it must you be? I mean, I love checking in with Brian.
This is my accountability. So
okay,
unless we get an outpouring of people saying, "Yeah, quit talking about it," then I'll stop talking about it. But if not, then you guys are still going to be my accountability. And
I don't have a problem with that at all. I like finding, oh geez, not just because Justine Bateman. Hold on, I have to speak over the sound. Okay, it's not just because of Justine Bateman that I want to find out every Friday how things are going. There's a lot more to it than that.
A lot more to it.
All right. Dan is going to join us. And for him to do that, I got to play a song here. So I'm just going to play. Let's see. Here we go.
Now, be sure to inspect the buttocks.
All right. That's it. It's Dan. Sorry. That was.
Are we starting with suppositories?
Well, no. We probably shouldn't do that. That was from Kyle Ferguson. Just a random thought he had on one of our There Will Be Dungeons episodes. And it made me laugh. So I kept it, I guess.
He's got a fine buttocks.
Yeah, he has a great butt, that guy. He's a tall, slender, fine butt kind of guy. Hey, it's Dan the Tabletop Man, who's all the way from, where are you now? North Carolina.
I'm outside of Raleigh, North Carolina.
That's right. And it comes on the show as often as we can make it happen here on the PM edition of the show to talk about board games and other stuff. But before we get into all that, Dan is also, as you know, if you've listened for a long time, a pharmacist. He knows about that stuff. He knows what's going on. All those pilly pills getting thrown around. By the way, I hear a lot of people call them pillies now. Have you heard this?
What?
Yeah, it's who's the I almost said a Morton Joe. What's his name? not a Morton Joe. The guy who's singing now and everybody. Post Malone. Post Malone. He's always talking about taking pillies. That's the thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, let's nip that in the bud.
Not a fan of pillies, Brian?
A fan of pillies. Okay. Oh, time to take your pillies.
Yeah.
Sounds like something they would have British TV for, the pillows. Like, let's freshen up these pillies.
Yeah, these pillies. Get these pillies all cleaned up so they can watch telly or whatever. Well, anyway, because you know all that stuff, we sometimes like to throw a little couple of questions at you here. So let's go back to the melatonin because we never got a chance to address it.
So you want me to give you a little 30-second thing on melatonin?
Give me the melatonin 30 seconds. Go.
Okay, so melatonin normally exists in your body. Some of these things, I apologize if everybody knows all this stuff, but it normally exists in your body, and generally it spikes when it's around bedtime, which now sometimes when people have some sleep abnormalities, they have a low level of melatonin.
All right.
So now for whatever reason, like kind of people have just gotten it in their head that, hey, let's take more melatonin and it'll work as a great sleep thing. Well, yes and no. It can work pretty good. For people, I like to tell people the best way to use it is for a few different things. For a jet lag, it's excellent.
Okay.
Because when you get your sleep schedule all screwed up, it helps to get you more regulated because it tells your body, this is when I'm supposed to go to sleep.
Mm.
Yeah.
And also when you have I used to work nights. I used to work 7-on, 7-off nights. They call shift workers, things like the people that have rotating shifts like police officers or medical people. A lot of times it's good for them because you may switch your shifts and you don't have normal things every day. Like they may go third one week, second shift another week. So those type of people, melatonin is great for too, because it helps them to tell their body, all right, this is when our sleep is now, so that the rest of the day they won't have that spike of melatonin.
Mm.
Now you can use it for sleep. It'll work okay. May not work for everybody, but I don't want you using it long term. Not really very good to take it as a long-term vitamin. Don't take it like a vitamin. But if you want to use it for when you have jet lag, when you go on those trips, when you're getting Legionella disease on a cruise, when you come back, go ahead, fall asleep with with some melatonin.
Okay.
And things like that. Right. But that's my 30-second thing on melatonin.
Can it hurt you at all if I go munch down two of them tonight? Is it going to give me, what are the downsides?
Double dose?
Well, nothing works on me unless I take two of them.
Well, what is the milligrams that you're, when you say take two, that could mean anything. Cause they come in usually ones, threes, fives, and tens. You see a lot of
fives, I think is what we've got. And it always says take one. And I'm like, that's for weenies. Let's take two.
Five milligrams is a good dose. Okay. I like 5 milligrams, 30 minutes before bed is fine. A guy like you, you're a big dude. And if you're, you can go 10, I wouldn't go any higher than 10. Yeah. There's so much. This is probably a Scottism too. If one is good, two must be better.
Two is twice as good.
I've just found, I think it's because when you're 6'4", my experience has been when someone says take two ibuprofen, it doesn't work. I don't double it necessarily, but three will. Like I'll notice headache go away at 3, but 2, I don't. But other people will take 2 as prescribed and go, oh, yeah, it feels much better at 2. So right. It's always just felt like I'm not, I just am too big and my bloodstream's too far out and I don't know what's going on with me, but I never seem to get it.
So just remember, anytime that you want to go over a recommended amount, you better text me first because, you know, taking 2 of an ibuprofen, that may sound okay, but you could be talking about ibuprofen 200, 2 of those, 2 or 3 of those, fine. Taking 2 of somebody just happens to have a 600 and 800, then we're going to be taking you to the ER because you're going to have a GI bleed, and that's a very common cause of death, and we don't really want that.
No, I don't want a GI bleed.
No.
No.
So you got to be careful with the 1 is good, 2 is better, and yes, you are a bigger gentleman, and myself, you know, I gotta lose the pounds too.
I'm with you, Brian. That, Dan, you keep putting that in there.
But
such a big gentleman.
But the thing is, no, your body isn't that much different from anybody else. Your whole system isn't as, I mean, unless, and I know you're not, unless you're pushing 350 to 400 pounds, which I know you're not.
No, I'm not.
You know,
no.
Your system is not going to be that much different. So be very, very careful with that overall thought of, well, I'm a big dude.
I'm going to text Dan now from now on from every time. That's just going to be the goal.
Yes.
Because
remember, milligrams is important. When you say, can I take 2 of these?
Yeah.
That doesn't do you a whole lot. You got to remember what the milligrams are. But, you know, with ibuprofen, taking 400 to 600 milligrams, you know, 3 to 4 times a day is fine. Usually a max daily dose, 800 milligrams, three times a day is generally where I want you to be. 4 is the absolute max. I think 3,200 milligrams of ibuprofen is the max daily dose. And I wouldn't want you to do that for more than, you know, to get over like a flu or something like that, or a real bad pulled leg. Because if you do it for too long, again, you're going to put yourself at risk for an ulcer or a GI bleed.
I always liked it. I was a huge fan when GI bleed would take Cobra and his guys down. They were so good. They'd come together and go, GI bleed. And then the whole thing would work out in the favor of GI bleed and the brave men and women of GI
bleed.
He was
the guy in the background with the red mask.
Yeah, GI bleed. All right, so there's that. Now to give me the 30 seconds on Adderall. And the reason this is even a thing, somebody was taking close-up shots of the president's eyes while he was doing his speech the other night, and everyone always wonders why he squints so much in front of these lights when he's filming stuff. Someone zoomed way in, and he's all dilated up to hell and back.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he exhibits other personality traits that may express somebody taking a bunch of speed like something. Adderall being a prescribed version of that. Is it possible if I just go and hammer down a bunch of Adderall, am I going to end up with like, you know, you won't even know what color my eyes are because my irises are so open. It's just a black void in there.
I mean, we already know that there's a black void in Trump. So that's not really.
Look at Dan. He threw some good shade. That was some good shade.
I'm sorry. I know you don't like to go political.
No. It's good. It's once. I like the little subtle jabs. Like there's a dark void in there, and it's probably the best language I could have chosen. But like Adderall itself is a very abusable. It's an abusable type drug.
Yeah,
right?
I mean it's one of the highest chances of being abused. One of the most highly addictive substances. Man, I would have a hard time attributing what I see on a person to a specific med. Now, would it be too far to say that maybe he is on something like a stimulant or something? Because, I mean, anybody in public office, not even necessarily just a president, I'm sure a lot of presidents have done stuff. I mean, fighter pilots, they get stuff like this to help them stay awake for that long time. When you're a president or something, you probably get like no sleep.
Oh, yeah.
And to keep going and going, they may pop some readies.
I think they probably do. They got like, Reagan probably did no-dose or something.
It's just a bunch of Sudafed. People do that sort of stuff. Like, vitamin S, people would call, that's the drug of choice for soccer moms.
Yeah. Carter would put a peanut up each nostril. One peanut here, one peanut here. George Bush would play with his junk behind the table. And then I think Barack Obama just played basketball, and that's where he got his energy. I think that was it for him. But anyway, so that's interesting. But usually that's like prescribed to kids or teenagers or college kids.
Right. Generally ADD or, oftentimes mostly ADD, but sometimes narcolepsy and things like that as well. Because, people have sleeping disorders, falling asleep during the day and such. They'll use that to help them stay awake. I would tell you that most people will probably use those things to get some of those, because if you're having a little bit of hard time getting through from 8 a.m. to midnight and still want to do more things with your time, sure, let's pop a couple Adderalls and you're just going to go, 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 go. But that's, you know, a quick prescription to get your heart to beat out of your chest.
Yeah. I've never had anything that's been that I would consider a stimulant outside of caffeine. So I don't really know what that feels like, but maybe.
But, and, you know, and similar side effects, you know, even things like albuterol inhalers can give you that similar feeling. You know, some people that use their puffers either too much or, you know, just to try and breathe a little better, you'll notice like you should get that same feeling of your heart just guys go, go, go when you, because you're having that kind of effect. Not that it's, you know, not that it's addictive or anything, but I'm just trying to tell you about the whole, that crazy feeling that you can get to when you get kind of hyped up and your heart just goes nuts.
Yeah. I prefer things that make me tired. I don't know why. Like, I'm more of a downer kind of guy. Like, if I need anything, it's just like, I just need to relax and not be so freaking
tense.
But
here's the problem, though. You're tired right now and you didn't take anything. You need something, like, you need, now you need something to get you up. And then later tonight, you'll need something to take you down.
Yeah.
I need somebody. And that's the big problem is, well, it's, they call it like polypharmacy. Like, people will try to take stuff during the day for one thing, and then they've got to outdo it at night. So, like, when people come in and are like, I can't sleep. Well, it might be the 3 billion milligrams of Adderall you're taking every day.
So let me ask you this. If I what's it called? Viagra. Is Viagra just a, is it a stimulant that just focuses on the wiener?
Well, funny thing about Viagra was that, you know, they originally were designing that whole class of drugs as a blood pressure medication.
Yeah.
So, and then they started, you know, little side effects. A lot of medications start off this way. They start off as one thing, and then they notice a side effect. It happens to be something else. Things like Rogaine and stuff like that actually was the same thing, where they noticed, hey, side effect, wow. I don't want to tell you this, doc, but I'm getting a raging boner every day after I take my medicine. So they're like, well, we may have to look at this. And that's also one of the big reasons why you can have a lot of fainting, or you can have actual, like, major problems if you have – you know, pre-existing condition of heart problems with, and you do take your Viagra or your Cialis or those things.
Yeah. If you take too
and what's
much,
funny about one of them is the chemical name of one of them is Tadalafil.
Wow. So
ta-da! Make that laugh when you go, ta-da!
Tadalafil. Yeah. That's pretty good. All right. Well, the only other thing I would say before we move on to board games is this. The other day I was thinking, when we were growing up, the three of us, we're all roughly the same age, a little bit older guys. And there was a, well, maybe you even talked about it on the show before, Brian, but there was that guy that danced around in like what looked like a skin suit. You see his muscles and his veins.
Oh, yeah, Mr. Goodbody.
Mr. Goodbody.
Oh, yes.
So Goodbody, do you remember him, Dan? You remember Mr. Goodbody?
Absolutely. He was cool because you could see like all the inside of his, you know, the skin suit he wore was all like the body. It was, well, you know.
Yeah. You really couldn't see inside him, but you could see what he was packing because that thing was skin tight.
Well, no. See, that brings me to my point. no pun intended, but if he ever wanted to showcase the process of the engorged ween, wouldn't it just be like a big blood stick, wouldn't it? Because that's all it is. So when people are sitting around going, ooh, like, okay, say you're a lady and you're going, oh yeah, hey, look at the big deal on there. You know what you're really saying? You're just forgetting that there's just a thin layer of sinew and skin that's hiding the fact that it's a blood stick.
Well, all right.
Well, you also got to remember there has to be some stimulation. Ooh, with
look at those big bags of fat on her chest, man. Wow. Hubba hubba.
No, you're right. It is. Like there,
she's got very well-placed bags of fat on her chest.
But that's exactly my point. Like we're a weird animal because on the one hand we're like, "Oh." But if we were just a quarter of an inch deeper, we'd go, "Ah!" Because it'd be a blood stick.
Jeez Louise.
Anyway, that doesn't matter. What matters,
by the way,
yeah.
J.K. Grammer put a video of Slim Goodbody in the chat room, which is just him dancing around in his insides unitard. Oh, and if you go
his wiener suit,
if you go to his wiener suit, 1 minute in, he starts pointing, like moving the camera down.
Oh,
past his digestive system.
Really. And for what reason? Just to show? I mean, I guess that stuff's important.
I don't know. I've got the audio off, so he's
here. Let me play a little.
Just
I'll
showing
play
where
a little
food
audio
goes. I guess.
Some people lean. Some of the people are right in between.
Okay.
Some people have zip. Others get beat. But you can be a winner if you watch what you eat.
Here's my blood stick. He says later.
Jeez.
All right. Doesn't matter.
Did he say you could be a wiener?
He could say you could be a wiener. Everyone can be a wiener. You're a wiener. I'm a wiener. We're all wieners together today.
What's Slim Goodbody doing these days?
You know he's got talent. You know he has hair. He
I do wonder what Slim Goodbody is. You know, is that guy still around or did he?
Brian, you should look that up.
Looking it up while we start talking about tabletop games.
Fantastic. Totally Dan, let's do it. You sent me some pictures of something rad looking. You want to tell me what this is?
So I got a nice, lately Scott's been all about, well, more than lately, probably for like most of his life. He's been big space guy. He's been really infatuated with space games. Yeah. So I thought that one of the big games towards the end of the year, I thought would be right up his alley. Because not only that, when I tweeted some pictures of Scorpius Freighter, our good buddy John Jagger, he kind of got all over it. He's like, what is this? I need it now. So we're going to talk about Scorpius Freighter. This is a game by Matthew Dunstan and David Short from AEG. It's really got some great production value. I'm going to show you this picture of the I've got the actual the player pieces, the boards.
Oh yeah, look at
that.
So
what you're going to do? You've got a board here. You're going to make your own freighter. You're actually trying to get goods and you're bringing them throughout the galaxy. And you're going to try to fulfill contracts. You've got active big contracts and smaller contracts as well throughout the game. And what you do is you've got three different rondelles. A rondelle is just basically a circle that has actions on it. So you're going to be ships on each one of these. And on your turn, you're going to move one of the ships either one or two spaces. And that's going to be which action. It's going to how you're going to tell what action you're going to do. And like I said, you've got your whole tableau here where you're going to be putting different pieces. There's going to be a cockpit. There's going to be places where you can actually get different parts for your ship where you can store things like credits, medicine, and food and stuff. And throughout the game, you're going to basically try to either, using your crew, you actually have a crew of four, and that's different through each game, and each have their own little power. So you're either training your crew so that you can get some better things from your actions. So you can upgrade your freighter, you're going to pick up some cargo, you're going to deliver the cargo, you can operate your freighter, which is cool because you're going to get different components where you can actually activate the components on the ship to help you do different things, like to help you either move faster or help you get more credits and things
like
that.
You have a bigger hull. You got bigger hull space, so you can take a larger. You're describing the game I love. You're describing the space games that I love.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And it's really solid. It's really cool because just having that crew kind of gives you that extra like player power feel. Now you have to train them, but that's also kind of part of the game as well. And again, you have to lean into kind of the different powers that your crew has. And you know where they are. Right now, the bodyguard, navigator, co-pilot, and pilot, they don't really matter where they are, but that's kind of something that I'm pretty sure David had told me that's more for the expansion. They're going to put some of that stuff in there for the future. What's also cool is I showed you the front. Now, they actually have a back to it where it's kind of like in a harder mode where there's different places where you cannot actually put different things on your ship. So that makes it a little more difficult, which is cool. Plays only about an hour. Very easy to figure out. Don't let all the different pieces fool you. It's once you know what the different actions are, there's only like six actions you can do. Once you know that, piece of cake.
Scorpius Freighter.
This is cool.
Came out towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
The little shuttle designs are really cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. They're little plastic pieces. They are amazing. They're really, really cool.
So it looks like, I mean, they really did make the game I love. This is like Freelancer or Space or...
Space trading game is what you were talking about a couple weeks ago week for apps.
Love these kind of games. Is there a combat model involved or
no? This is it's kind of like multiplayer solitaire. The only real thing that you have, we'd call it combat, the only way you can kind of get in the way of other people is kind of you can move one of the ships. And if there's something, let's say Brian really wants to turn in some of his goods for a contract, and that may be on one of the other rondelles. So each one of the different action spaces that has all the actions around the outside, they have a different makeup. So he may not be, you know, if I go before Brian and I know he wants to turn in those, his goods to fulfill a contract, I may actually go there first knowing that he needs to do that and I'm going to turn in some stuff. So you're just kind of getting in the way and blocking more or less, not really any combat there.
So... and no way to play this solo, as far as you know? Is there a way to do that?
I don't know if there's a solo. They may have a solo option in the book, but it probably wouldn't be all that hard to come up with a solo variant. I'm sure there may be one on Board Game Geek or even an expansion may put it. But being that it's so fast, I mean, you can play less than an hour. And like I said, the rule book is really good. I mean, you and Nick could knock out a game, in an hour, or you and Kim could sit down and knock out a game real quick. It's good. Actually, the whole family even... You know, it wouldn't take even any longer for four people to play it.
So
it just moves so quick.
But it's co-op, or are we competing?
No, you're competing for points.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, it's not really, again, like some of the thing about games is like a lot of people, when it comes to that combat thing, people like shy away from that personality wise. They don't really want that. And also when you have combat, you can have player elimination, which also isn't great in some games. So people kind of shy away from those. This is kind of like, I call it multiplayer solitaire because what I do doesn't really necessarily, you know, make what you do any different.
Oh,
but
I
we
see.
Are still competing for the points, or yeah. I may see a couple contracts that are out there that I need to get to before you, and then other contracts may flip out that you can't do.
So you could end up, in the end of this game, player one or player four could end up being a very good space trader and been very successful, but player two eked him out by 100 points because he was a little more strategic about whatever. Like, right. It's still winners and losers, but it's not directly combative in that, like, he did a thing during the game that screwed you up. And made
right.
So
well,
you
and
were...
even a little bit of screwage in there is you're not going to hate somebody. Like, there's certain games where when you get targeted, it feels bad.
Yeah.
Like when you lose a game like this, it doesn't feel bad because you had it's more about the voyage, in my opinion, than the where you end up, because you're going to have so much fun doing cool things and, you know, just going through your head. Oh, if I get this part to the ship, that means I can go one extra space forward, or I can do the space in front or behind my ship, whereas Scott can only do what he lands on. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's all these different things go through your head as far as just tailoring my ship.
I'm
just
into it. I'm really into what you're selling here. This sounds like my kind of game. I'm going
to
pick it up.
Since it kind of came out towards the end of the year, this is kind of what I'm going to say is, you know, it's going to be more of a 2019 release, in my opinion. So this is going to be one of those games that I'm going to be looking out for Game of the Year already, because I played it 6 or 7 times, and everybody that I introduced this to loves it, and I just can't get enough of it.
Yeah, and the artwork's cool from what I can tell. It looks cool. Seems neat.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, each one of the they have individual crew members. That's about all the real art is the crew and stuff, and that's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm looking at these. It's also sent me some shots from your phone during. When did you play this? Was this recent? This recent play?
This one was right around Christmas time.
Okay. Yeah. This.
So if you see there how I've kind of got in that middle section there is where all the different things where kind of gives me special abilities when I do operate my freighter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also you can use like your basic cockpit, or you can there's like 10 different cockpits. You can randomly choose one and get it gives you a different power to start the game with. And you kind of build off your little storage areas where you kind of want to keep the same type of storage together, because when you do fill up your hull, you fill up the like ones a little bit better.
I'm in. So, I'm in all in on this. Awesome. This might be one of my favorite recommendations you've made. It's right up
that's
my alley.
Cool.
Yep. My alley is a giant receptacle, and it went right up in it.
You just went right up it, Dan.
Drove right up that alley.
Is it all full circle back to the suppositories?
Exactly. Thank you for that. Wow. Do not take Adderall in suppository form. That's what we've learned today. Don't
or
do
stored
that.
It.
Yeah, or that. Do you have, actually, I know you're not a vet, and the pills the pillies you're throwing out aren't for dogs and animals and stuff, but you got any recommendations for a recovering surgery dog? Anything special that you would do if you were me?
You know, you're in a hard situation because you've got a puppy that has ultimate energy right now and does not want to be in there. The hardest thing to do is to keep him, you know, in the crate, you know, and obviously the pain must not be all that bad where it just still wants to get up and go around. I don't know. Do you remember offhand what it is they gave you that knocked him out? Because a lot of times they'll use Benadryl or another antihistamine to knock them out.
No, that's a good. Hey, Nick, are you in here? Yeah. Hey, what's the name of those pills they gave the dog to make her tired? Know the name? That's a complicated name for a complicated kid.
So it could be like diphenhydramine, which is Benadryl. It could be something along those lines. So I'm thinking, you know, hopefully it's something like that, because you can. Those are, I think, are pretty safe, and I'm almost certain that's what they used to give my dog when, you know, when it had some itching and you know wanted to sleep. But again, I'm not a vet, and a lot of the drugs are the same, but there are certain kind of tricky ones that are just not good for animals. So I don't go 100% on me when I'm saying Benadryl, but I'm thinking it's kind of along an antihistamine type.
But if you were somebody with some problem like this, you wouldn't recommend, like, let's say it's late at night, you can't go to the pharmacy or the dog pharmacy or wherever you get this stuff. they have a little door at Walmart, like next to the big door. but you got no time to do that. You don't want to necessarily go in your medicine cabinet and grab your mom's Ativan and give it to the dog or something like that.
No. I mean, the doctor may give you things like that that may help, because a lot of benzodiazepines are really good for dogs, especially when it comes. They'll use that for different dogs for like 4th of July or thunderstorms and things like that. They'll have benzodiazepines, which will just calm them down a bit enough to just keep them there. So, I mean, it could be, if it is something like that, it'll help because it may make them a little more conscious of laying down and wanting to sleep. So, I mean, like you said, if you're not around, keep that. I would recommend keeping the cone on and keeping the pup in the crate as best you can.
Yeah.
Because yeah, I mean the licking, obviously the licking, wouldn't we all want to be able to lick anywhere we want?
Oh, we so sure
the licking
would.
And the running mm-hmm. Are both not great.
You know, one of the rules in Madonna's house still is always keep the cones on. I don't know if you guys knew that.
Always.
Yes. Always keep your cones on.
In case you trip, you need that extra layer of protection when you fall.
Yeah, that's right. Papa, don't preach. I know I shouldn't have tripped. All right. Hey, Dan is the man. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, you can at GeekJockBlog. Anything else going on? Anything you want to point people to before we let you go?
Next week, we're going to be recording our Game of the Year episode on Geek All-Stars. So tune in for that. So I'm looking forward to it's going to be a fun time. They're usually longer episodes, but man, we go through over a lot of games that came out last year. We won't see Scorpius Freighter because we kind of consider that a 2019 release. But you'll have to see what my Game of the Year will be. So that's the Geek All-Stars podcast. And like Scott said, at Geek Jock Blog.
All right. Appreciate sounds it, good. Dan's always good to talk to you. Talk to you later, buddy.
Yeah, see you, Dan.
Peace out. That is my kind of game. I'm going to play cool. It.
Yep. That looks good. Yeah.
It's just totally up my alley. I don't know what is so intriguing to me about.
You love that space trading. And
I know. I don't know what it is, though. Yeah. Like, I couldn't tell you, oh, there's this one thing about it. I think it's just, I find it soothing and relaxing. Sure. And my ASMR is space games, I think.
There you go.
Yep. The rest of y'all can have fun listening to people comb their hair or eat a sandwich, but not me.
You don't want to shoot stuff. You want to say, all right, what do you get in your cargo hold? Okay, how about two of those for four of these, and you can take my crew member.
Sure. And I'm, yeah, and I'm okay. I'm fine with the shooting stuff. I just want there also to be a lot of space stuff and a lot of spaced out music. Yeah. Like right now, I'm really into this. Check this out. This is what I've been listening to a ton of right now. Okay. Here it is. Just a little taste of it. Oh, yeah. Hear that?
Nice.
Just like, oh, the fourth nebula of the eighth galaxy. We're going around the bend here. Oh, no, space pirates. Ah, what are you going to do? Like, I love that whole vibe.
That's cool. Is that an album or what is that?
That is actually an album from 1984 of all times from Steve Roach. You may remember the name. I don't know.
Okay.
But he's still working today and he does nothing but big 25-minute drony atmospheric kind of space music.
I think we talked about him during that Soundography episode when we did that other album of New Agey kind of stuff.
Might have been, yeah. He's really cool. I've sort of rediscovered him. I was into it. I was really into this when I was a teenager in the era that this album would have been out. This is from Structures from Silence, which is a fantastic album. And it was originally in sort of they called it New Age, but since then it's moved into other categories like ambient or space music or I don't know what all. But I could just listen to that all day, sure. Just that's floating cool. In space, getting ready for my next thing. Pirates, space pirates. Space zombies is a cool
space
subgenre.
Pirates, yar.
Yar. That and Mad Max stuff. Those are my two jams. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, that's going to do it for us. Big thanks, Dan, for being with us today. And we appreciate all of you being here as well. We do have time for perhaps one or two TMS, Ask TMS questions.
Ask TMS? Oh, good. Yeah, all right.
We got a little time here, so we're going
to
do that.
I wonder if Peter Fischel will get the first one. We'll have to see.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
Actually, he's second. Got beat out by 2 minutes. Wow. Sorry, ooh. Peter. Sorry, you're close, dude. Your record is...
Sorry, Peter.
Sorry, Peter. It's about Peter. I love that clip. Let me play it real fast. Peter. Oh, why don't I have it? That's great. Hold on. Here we go. This is worth it, I swear.
Yeah.
Here it is. Nope. That's not it. Oh, it was in Film Tech. That's why. And it's... what's her name? Here it is.
It's about Peter.
It's about Peter.
Oh, yeah. It's about Peter.
Peter.
Margot Martindale, yep. Is it? Or
yep, Margot Martindale. That is correct.
Yeah.
And now here's some other Peters. Here's Peter Stormare. All right. Here's Peter Coyote.
I've been to the forest.
All right. And then and then there's Peter Piper play the flute.
Yes, Peter Piper play the flute.
That's the best one of all of those, by far.
Oh, my gosh. I think that's Jackie Chan from something we watched. Is that funny?
Here's a Peter Piper playing the flute.
Oh, that's really funny. All right. Sorry.
He's probably doing like he's doing hand puppets on the wall or something, right?
Yeah. I can't remember what it was. It was some
shadows.
Something weird going on. I don't even remember what movie it is.
It's great.
Anyway, all right. So Peter Fisher, you'll get next, but first up is Alexiv 1969. It says AMC has announced they're doing standalone movies based in the Walking Dead universe. What countries would you like to see?
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like a like Walking Dead, but in different countries. Like London would be really cool.
London,
cool
to see
what's going on in London.
Heck yeah, that's a good one. Where else you want to see?
I mean, does it have to be another country? Because I love Las Vegas zombie combos.
Las Vegas is a backdrop for apocalyptic everything is one of my favorite tropes. I love it. So I'm totally with you on both these. Why not like India, the nasty streets of India? That'd be cool. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many people, right? And you didn't really have to figure something out there. I don't want subtitles, though. You gotta give me some dialogue here. I don't want to read during its
Walking Dead thing. Nobody wants that.
But the idea of standalone, quote unquote, movies on AMC set in that universe, but not necessarily tied to the Walking Dead proper storyline, is a great idea. You should totally do that.
Mm-hmm. That would be really cool.
Yeah. It's at Sidian. Cool. Sidian makes a point in the chat. He says, "This just make the actual World War Z. The book is like that. It's more of an anthology than the World War Z movie was cool and all, but it was like one story in the larger universe. And the book, World War Z, is like interview style, but it's like all these different stories that came from the big Z war.
Really?
Oh, that's war. Cool. That's a great book, told... by the way. It's a great book. You should read it.
That's right. The World War Z, and it's all like first person perspective. Chapters or sections in chapters, right?
Correct.
It's like people reporting about it.
Correct. Yeah. So it's like a reporter 10 years after the fact talking to somebody who was there for a certain thing. And then they'll go deep into that thing and tell that story. And then you'll move to the next, I don't know if it's next chapter or the next set of chapters where it's the next guy or the lady who survived the thing at the top of some building or whatever. It's really interesting. The movie decided not to do that. I think they probably could have done that. But I'm with Sidian. He says the book is literally the best zombie treatment ever. I think
really? So. Really? Ooh. I have to pick that up. Tristan, we bought that for Tristan. He liked it, and I need to read it as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's, what's his name, Brooks? No, it's Mel Brooks' son, Brooks. Max Brooks.
Max Brooks, okay. Yeah.
He's not funny like his dad. He's more serious.
Yeah.
all right. Peter Fisher says, sure. Worried that Boomer might develop a sleeping pill addiction after this surgery? No, she'll be fine.
No.
We only need her for a few days where she gets reacclimated. She'll be all right. Old Man Spock says, Scott, what's your favorite store-bought kimchi? And then he's got one for you. I'll answer that real quick. Okay. There's a local grocery store here called Smith's. I think it's regional, so maybe others have heard of it.
We don't have them here, but we have probably one of ours is probably a sister chain.
Probably. Those guys are all owned by like the same 8 rich men. So.
Yes, right.
They're like movie theaters. It's just like a string now of like 3 or 4 owners, but anyway, the this local Smith's has fantastic off the shelf kimchi, and it's just their branded stuff, and it's really good. Brian, they now ask you a question. Do you have a good resource for obscure / foreign music?
I mean here's what I usually go to, like, if I'm looking for covers, I go to Secondhand Songs.
Yeah.
If it's something that I already don't know about, they're a really good resource. If it's something that that I'm trying to track down, allmusic.com is where I'll go. It's a heavy site, and so it's slow, and it loads a lot of crap that you don't need, but it's very complete, and it's a really good site for that.
Yeah.
Foreign music is going to be on there as well. Man, that's a tough one, because if I'm looking for a foreign cover or a foreign song, I'll probably use YouTube, as lame as that sounds.
I don't think that's lame. I think that's where the source is now.
That's what the kids are doing these days.
Yeah, it's what the kids do after they pop their pillies.
I'm not contributing to that, Scott.
Okay.
I'm not giving you any sort of positive or negative response. I'm not going to reward you.
That's true.
With those pillies.
Unrelated things in the chat makes a good point. The Smiths made a song called Meat is Murder.
Yeah. So the Smith's grocery store. Yeah,
they can't have a butcher's market or a butcher's section.
Right, exactly.
It'd be great though if they got on the mic and went, sail on peanuts on aisle four.
And heaven knows Kellogg's cereals are
half off only half this off. Week.
And we're miserable now. You wanted cantaloupes and then you found some cantaloupes. And then you take them to the checkout stand.
I do think maybe your Morrissey's my favorite of your impressions. If I had to put, if somebody put a gun to my head right now and said, call it, I'd say that's the one.
That's what I have the most fun with.
Guy has a bonus question for Kim. She's not here, but I think I can answer it for her. Says, thoughts on okra and do you ever add it to your jambalaya? She loves okra. I do not. I find it kind of slippery and bitter. It's a weird vegetable. It's a southern thing.
I can
only
do it deep fried.
Yeah, and I can, even then though, it's that bitter, weird, it's once you, I don't know, there's something about the actual thing that I don't like and I can't put my finger on it, but yeah, if I'm going to have it at all deep fried, I can do that, which is pretty common.
Or chopped up, I mean, if it's chopped up in jambalaya, then, you know, that's good.
That'd be okay,
because you're getting it with all those other things, you don't even know it.
Yeah. If you've never had that, if you're listening, just go to the South. It's every freaking where.
I've got to do this because Monica put in the chat room,
butcher's in a coma. I know. It's serious.
All right. Are you happy with yourself, Monica?
You asked for it.
Do you see what you've done? Nice
job.
That's
right.
All right. That's going to do it for questions. Ask DMS the hashtag. Use it every week. We'll do it here on Fridays. That is going to do it for the show. This entire episode is not possible without your support at patreon.com/TMS. Quite literally, it doesn't exist because we added it as a bonus thing and that we unlocked at a certain point. And if you want to keep it here, you got to keep it there. So head on over there to patreon.com/TMS and do it today. For everything else you might be looking for, contacting us, Twitter accounts, Reddit stuff, archives of the show, old episodes, video versions of the show, all that stuff is at frogpants.com/TMS. And now Brian will lay it out for us musically before we leave.
I will do exactly that. Kevin wrote in and said, my birthday is on the 13th, which falls on a weekend, so whenever you can get this close by, I would like to request a cover of Life Will Change from Persona 5. I know Brian got the game recently, so of course he's heard this part of the amazing soundtrack, right? Mm. Love the show, Kevin. Mm. Persona 5, right there, wrapped in plastic on the right in front of the PlayStation.
Same. But I have that game right somewhere over here. I have the same thing. Yeah, and I haven't opened it either. It's still in the plastic.
So with the Elgato thing, the stream, I'm probably going to do... I'm right in the middle of playing Diablo on the Switch, which I'm really loving.
It's really good.
I love the controls and everything. Mm-hmm. So I'll probably play a little bit more of that, but I'll probably stream some of it and then move to either Mario Rabbids or Persona 5.
Nice.
Depending on if I want to move the PlayStation over.
Sure. I like it.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know what Wildlands is, but J.K. Grammer has mentioned
it. He talks about it all the time. So Wildlands is a shooter. It can be single player, but I guess, because he informed me that today, but it's a multiplayer co-op thing set in the Tom Clancy universe of games. It's published by Ubisoft. I want to say that game came out in late 2016, early 2017 or something, but
right.
Still going.
March 7th, 2017. This is the... Yeah. Ghost Recon Wildlands.
Yeah, that's good. It's a shooter. Okay. You attack bases, go in there, take all their crap and leave, kind of thing. He loves it. He talks about it constantly. Everywhere you go, JK Grammer.
2017, and he's still talking about it.
Yeah. He's old school, man. He likes to dip back 12 months or more.
Wow.
I guess it hasn't even been quite a year. It'll be a year in May. So it's not that old. It's not even a year old yet.
No, it's 2017. It's almost 2 years old.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
March 2017.
You're right. You're totally right. I'll play anything 2015 and forward. That's my moving window. So next year it'll be 2016 and forward. Like, to me, that's about the range of, especially in PC gaming, it's just, there's a good range there where you don't feel trapped by old or new stuff. And yeah, so you're still okay playing that. Anyway, that's a good game, Wildlands. But don't worry about it.
You want to see what I picked up, by the way?
What'd you get? Let's see it. Brian's off camera. He's getting a thing. Oh, here he comes. Oh, but, what is this for?
This is for Inara. This is the bow tie or the necktie collar. Oh, I had this on her a little bit earlier, and she wouldn't let me get near her to take it off. And I don't think it was because she enjoyed it so much.
No.
So I did take a couple photos. I'm going to try and like get her used to this thing. But
for listeners on audio only, Brian's got like a little removable necktie and collar.
That yeah, if you go to the Twitter account Embassy Cat, you'll see Julian Assange's cat wearing this exact thing. Or I don't know about this exact thing, but
and don't we all think he ate the cat or something? Because this hasn't been on there.
I don't think he ate the cat.
I don't know. Something happened. My rumor is that he ate the cat. He just ate it. That's where he went.
Like all in one bite. Like what movie was that where somebody?
It was like, V, wasn't it?
It was V, right. Yeah. Unhinges their jaw and eats an entire vole or something.
Yeah, it was like a big rat or whatever.
That was exactly.
That was a real turning point for V. Anyway, there's a gif of that somewhere. Sorry, you were recommending a song and I forgot where you were.
Oh, that's right. I was playing something. Yes. So Persona 5. I forgot that we already did the request. Persona 5, Kevin wanted to hear the lyric version of Life Will Change, a cover of it from the Persona 5 soundtrack. I found a really good one that I like. It makes me kind of can't wait to hear this in the game. Amalie does the cover and she put it on a single as well as a full video game cover album that she released. It is called Life Will Change from Persona 5. Here's Amalie.
Nice. We'll be back Monday. Whole new week of shows. Come on back then. We'll see you.
Love. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
He has a Peter Piper playing the flute.
It just gets funnier and funnier every time you hear it.
I don't know why it's so funny, but it's so funny.